Senate, please come to order. Members vote to signify their presence.
The roll shows 12 members here this morning. Senators Kraft, Pierce, and Ewing are excused and called the Senate.
Thank you. Please stand for invocation by the Chaplain, Reverend Marianne Warden of the Northern Light United Church.
Nayuta, let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you proclaim your truth in every age by many voices. Direct in our time, we pray, those who listen may hear, those who speak, those who write may write simply and knowledgeably what many will read and interpret, that they may do their part in making laws that shall please you to the glory of your name and the welfare of your people to the honor of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Senator Cotton, lead us the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Adams.
Nancy Adams, consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer is spread on the journal. The Secretary, please certify the journal.
I wish to certify as the presence of the journals for the 75th, 76th, and 77th legislative days and Senate Supplement Number 18.
Senator Helfer.
I move and ask unanimous consent the journals and supplement be approved to certify by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the motion carries. Introduction of guests. Senator Hoffman.
Yes, in the Senator Ziegler's gallery, I have some students that are down here with a close-up program. As I read your name, please stand up. We have from the Galena School District, Holly Evans and Carol Holchies, along with teacher Frank Prosak. Please help welcome them to the Senate.
Further introductions? Senator Pochot.
President, I see a friend of mine, Chris Scally, in the Ziegler Gallery. I think she's a constituent of Senator Cotullo and Senator Menard. So welcome to the Senate.
Senator Stewart. Further inductions? Messages from the governor?
There are no messages this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
Messages dated March 27th, Mr. President. The House has concurred in the Senate Amendment to House Joint Resolution Number 48, thus adopting Senate CS for House Joint Resolution Number 48, IT&T, relating to a Pan-American Energy Alliance. Message dated March 27th, dear Mr. President. The House has adopted the Conference Committee Report on Senate Bill 349 and 349 amended House, thus adopting Conference CS for Senate Bill 349, implementation of special federal programs for unemployment compensation effective date. This bill has been referred to enrollment. Message dated March 27th, dear Mr. President. The House has passed CS for Senate Bill Number 408, Labor and Commerce, an act relating to telephone service for the deaf, hard of hearing, and speech impaired, with the following amendment. House CS for CS presented Number 408, Labor and Commerce, an act relating to telephone service for the deaf, hard of hearing, and speech impaired, and providing for an effective date, technical title change, and returning for consideration.
Senator Helfer.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill 408, Labor and Commerce, thus adopting House committee substitute for committee substitute Senate Bill 408, Labor and Commerce. Recommend a yes vote.
Senator Duncan. The question being, shall the Senate concur in the House committee substitute for committee substitute Senate Bill 408, Labor and Commerce? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary, lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? secretary recorder roll. And so the Senate has concurred in the House amendment to committee sub super Senate Bill 408, Labor and Commerce, by a vote of 16 yeas, 0 nays. Sir Halpern.
Consent to roll call and final passage of concurrence with House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 408 to consider the roll call and effective date clause.
Without objection, effective date clause is adopted.
Message dated March 27th, the House has passed and transmitted for consideration. CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 49, Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, recognized in 1992 as the 75th anniversary of the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Yes.
CS for House Joint Resolution Number 70, Finance by the Finance Committee, urging the United States Congress to amend the Internal Revenue Code to increase the personal exemption for children under 18 and to provide a parental child care exemption.
Yes.
CS for House Bill Number 326, Finance by the Finance Committee, an act relating to requirements for limited teacher certificates, defining teacher, and providing for an effective date.
Yes, Finance.
Those are all the House messages this morning, Mr. President.
Thank you. Communications?
A following report has been received. The Jones Act related activities and efforts during 1991. A report to the Alaska Legislature from Walter J. Hickel, Governor. And those are all the communications this morning, Mr. President.
Thank you. Reports of standing committees?
Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 443, taking a fish and game for subsistence, and reports it back as follows. Senator Jones, Chair, signed do pass. Senator Menard and Lyon signed no recommendation. Senator Jarek signed do not pass. Fiscal note and zero fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill Number 443 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. Rules Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 32, requesting the governor to take appropriate steps to make the state eligible for the benefits of the Sims National Recreation Trails Act, and House Joint Resolution Number 60, expansion of the National Air and Space Museum, recommends calendar. Reports were signed by Senator Jarek, Chair, concurring Senator Halpern and Eliason. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 245, state purchase of heavy trucks and heavy equipment, recommends calendar with new fiscal, zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Senator Jarek, Chair, concurring Senators Eliason and Jones. Rules Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 42, urging the Bush administration and the Congress to increase federal funding for women, infants, and children programs that is available to all eligible persons. Recommends calendar with a new zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Senator Jarek, Chair, concurring Senator Jones, Elias, and Halpern. This bill and resolution do appear on today's calendar, and those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no Senate resolutions this morning.
Introduction of Senate bills?
There are no Senate bills.
Consideration of data calendar?
Senate Bill Number 245 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to state purchases of heavy trucks and heavy equipment. Transportation Committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Menard, Chair, and Senator Schultz signed do pass. Senator Jones signed do not pass. Senator Pierce signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Finance CS and do pass. Report was signed by Senators Pershore and Petrullo, co-chairs concurring. Senators Adams, Hoffman, and Schultz. Previous zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jarek, concurring Senators Elias and Jones. There's a Finance CS.
Senator Pershore.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance CS be adopted through the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted.
CS for Senate Bill Number 245, Finance, for the Finance Committee, an act related to state purchases of heavy trucks and heavy equipment.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halpern.
Moving to unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 245 be considered engrossed, advance the third reading and place the final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 245, Finances in third reading. Secretary, please read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill Number 245, Finance, an act relating to state purchases of heavy trucks and heavy equipment.
Senator Petrullo.
Mr. President, working with Senator Schultz on the subcommittee and the members of the Finance, for several years now, we've recognized that certain pieces of equipment under the low bidding concept were purchased that were not adequate to the task, and it particularly applies to heavy equipment and heavy trucks. We found that the maintenance and the breakdown time far exceeded any savings. This bill merely sets to allow the department to set up regulations for setting up a criteria under which they could purchase heavy trucks and equipment, and then also to set up a program in all cases when specific types of equipment are unusually adapted to a particular job, then DOT could purchase, with setting up first the criteria, purchase this equipment. You have cases in which the surplused out old line equipment was maintained and had to be used in lieu of brand new equipment broken down and had to come back in and either rent or buy back. We just have a serious problem when it comes to allowing the type of program we now have when it comes to long-time maintenance and long-time utilization of good quality equipment. Most of us know something about the old days. You probably, you know, used a Boeing or a Douglas airplane. You used a Caterpillar tractor. Why? Because they had durability, low maintenance, and were the best in the field. Again, today you have certain types of equipment. There may be more than one, but they don't necessarily fall in the category of low bidding under the present legislation. So Senator Schultz's staff worked very hard on this and came up with this particular plan that's been endorsed by DOT, and we've debated it for 2 years in Senate Finance off and on during the hearing process. And I think it's the best thing that we can come up with to allow us to purchase the very highest quality equipment that would have the least breakdown and maintenance involved in it and would bring the highest price back on surplus in the long run, be much, much cheaper to the state.
Senator Jones?
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, have a concern about, you know, the purchase of equipment and how we do it. But I'm not too sure where.
How do we keep track of what's going on? What kind of a door are we opening? If we think that the fault that we saw a while back over a couple of commissioners was about $100,000, we start talking about equipment purchases of millions of dollars. I really believe that can be done and handled with knowledgeable people who know what they're doing. Personally, how to put together the specifications that you need for the equipment you want to purchase. If you have a fleet of equipment, if you have 10 snowplows, and you want to replace one of them, you draw your specs exactly. Are there in that piece, and you hold the line. Now, we've seen just recently some bids that went out on snow plows, snow blower units, and the DOT, three of them. They set some specs, 5,000 tons per hour. The bids came in. There were only a couple of units that would meet that. One was supposedly built in Italy, and another one built here in the United States. The bid came in. The Italian make manufacturer was low. Well, first of all, the equipment was 5 months late getting there. There was no penalty. There was a inspection trip involved in this, so some people got to go to Italy, I guess. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do. But the machines got over, they didn't meet specs. Then when it's talking about on page 3, it says the evaluation factor for heavy truck equipment, when the state agency uses competitive seal proposal, they can give some other things that they take a look at, the price, the quality, the resale value, 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, other factors. One of the questions that came up in the subcommittee was on line 27, it says other factors determine pertinent or peculiar to the chairman. Some questions were raised about that. For example, if you were going to go out and buy a dump truck and buy three or four of them, you may want to ask in the bid that this truck have the capability
or an attachment for example, for a belly blade to be put on it in the future, a snow plow to be put on the front of it, a sanding mechanism for, sanding the roads or whatever. So, you know, regardless of what a person thinks about the legislation, in our best judgment in going through this as a as a subcommittee in looking at this. I do believe that there is some serious problems that I believe can be alleviated as a result of passing a piece of legislation like this. I think that there's some very positive benefits to the state of Alaska by doing it. Thank you.
Senator Hofford?
Thank you, Mr. President. I agree with the former speaker that the current system isn't working, but I believe it could be fixed if we took the intent section and listed all of those things that we're trying to reach and simply said that they be considered in the bid specs. I believe that knocking this big a breach in the bidding process, I think, will result or potentially can result at some point in abuse. I think, you know, we all have a better way to do it, but they're all subjective ways. The reason that we use price is because it is objective, and it does get us somewhere. One other thing that kind of concerns me, when we talk about equipment coming from other places, this title is exactly where we should be putting it in. Exactly where we come to do it. It should be wherever the quality is equal, look at the equipment in the U.S. Army.
To DOT equipment sites and various other things, constantly one of the things that did come up was the bidding practices, the equipment that was purchased, where they got it, the problems of getting parts to support it, and when they were at the end of its life cycle, the value, and some of the equipment, if it was German or Italian or wherever, where they couldn't get parts to it, was sitting 6 to 8 months as they were waiting for parts to come over. So with that, it only seemed reasonable that we should look at something like this and try to inject that into our process so that we could get better equipment, more reliable equipment, and equipment at the end of the life cycle that would have some resale value. And that's why I'm supporting the legislation. I believe it's a step forward. Thank you.
Senator Sturgeon.
Good equipment that can stand up under a lot of conditions, and it doesn't do any good if it's there if you can't get parts for it. There's a whole lot of factors. But why isn't it possible to write those and to have a factor in there that can allow the flexibility we need and still keep it under the sealed bid? This frankly scares me.
Senator Padula?
The problem is that in the basic everyday used pieces of equipment like graders, Caterpillar, Cats, they're called Caterpillars, but they're any make, any number of brands. In that type of equipment, heavy-duty dump trucks, the configurations that were recognized by the Senator Schultz earlier, when we come to the ingredient that goes into making this equipment up, for instance, Caterpillar factory discards massive amounts of steel. They check it and get rid of it. Don't use it in their equipment. It's resold to other groups that do use it in their equipment. You just have a whole series of quality controls in certain types of equipment and design that is makes it so much more important for us to own than other, that I think it's important again that we can't design adequately a spec that discerns one grader from another in the spec process. We haven't been able to design one that sets aside caterpillars or particular types of trucks either. And this seems to be, and maybe there is an improvement possible, but this seems to be the only way that you can have equipment that's of the first order and you can be guaranteed it. I know there's going to be a lot of controversy about it. And we knew it was at the time. In fact, this has been a question before finance year in and year out. And DOT's response is that the department supports this legislation as being in the best interest of the state by reducing long-term costs for the acquisition of heavy trucks and equipment while providing more reliable units for use and maintenance of airports, roads, and streets. Some of this stuff just used a brief period of time. But many others are not. And we get the breakdown problem and we get the maintenance problem. We don't get the use out of it. And to begin with, we tried to say, well, why don't you set up a series of experiences and criterion for equipment that could be factored in? You broke down when the thing was 3 months old and had 150 hours on it. And you broke down, another piece of equipment had thousands of hours of breakdown. And we couldn't come up with these design of specs out of DOT. Finally, I think the subcommittee just said, at least this is an understandable factor, a controversial as it may be. And I think that's where DOT came from, too, in supporting legislation.
Senator Frank.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have experience with this, too. I've gone up on the haul road and listened to the mechanics and the operators up there talk about some of the lousy equipment they've had to purchase because they were the low bid. Come up with language that would lead us towards a more defensible system that would maintain integrity in the process, but still achieve the objective.
Senator Curtula.
I move that Senate Bill 245 be held until Thursday's calendar for just this sort of work.
Thursday? Wednesday?
Wednesday's calendar.
Without objection,
Mr. President.
Senator Schultz.
Okay, I'm going to object just for a point of clarification here. And the only thing that I would ask is the people that have concerns about the legislation, whatever it may be, parts of it, or have some ideas as to how it should be modified or whatever, I think it's an... it's not my legislation or anything else. I just think it needs, and the committee just looked at this, and it is a problem. And I would just like to ask those people to, you know, we'll try to address it however we possibly can. I think it's an important enough issue that the legislation should hopefully pass this body and pass the other body. I think there's concerns out there, and there's a definite need in the state to accomplish something like this. So if you really have some concerns and want some things changed, I would appreciate it if you would let the people that have worked on this know. Appreciate it.
May subs over Senate Bill 245 is held over to Wednesday's calendar in second reading. Third reading. Senator Adams.
Mr. President, may we go back to introduction of guests, please?
May.
In the gallery behind me, I'd like to introduce two friends from my nonprofit, Manerla.
Thank you. Senator Jones?
Thank you, Mr. President. Under introduction of guests, I'd like to introduce a longtime friend of mine. He's from Anchorage, and I don't know whose district he lives in, but
Chuck Parker. Further introductions? Secretary, read the next bill.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 32 by Senators Kant, Bushrell, Rohde, and Pierce, requesting the governor to take appropriate steps to make the state eligible for the benefits of the Sims National Recreational Trails Act. Resources Committee considered the resolution. Majority Committee recommends it be replaced to committee substitute and do pass. Report was signed by Senator Jones, Chair, concurring Senators Kant, Elias, and Menard, and Halford. Zero fiscal note. Finance Committee considers the bill. Majority of the committee recommends the resources CS be adopted and do pass. Report was signed by Senators Pertu and Pershoko, Chairs, concurring Senators Adams, Ewing, and Schultz. Zero fiscal note. And a fiscal note. Rules Committee considers the resolution. Recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Zhuroff, Chair, concurring Senators Halford and Eliason. There's a resources committee substitute.
Senator Jones.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 32 Resources to be adopted in lieu of the original resolution.
Without objection, Resources Committee. Subcommittee is adopted.
CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 32 Resources by the Resources Committee, requesting the governor to take appropriate steps to make the state eligible for the benefit of the Sims National Recreation Trail.
Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on this legislation.
Without objection, Senator Adams, Senator Kurtula, Hoffman, Senator Collins, Senator Serzewski. Are there any amendments? Senator Schultz?
I have no amendments.
Discussion, Senator Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I introduced the resolution for a couple of reasons. One of them was to encourage the governor to take the appropriate steps necessary to let us become eligible to participate in this program. And so far, the director of the Division of Parks has assured me that they've been designated as the agency, and they'll try to get around to establishing the board within the next year. I'm going to continue to encourage them to move a little faster than that. And also to encourage the governor and bring back to his attention the fact that at some point the state's going to have to help participate in the funding of this. That's the other reason I introduced the bill, was to bring to the Finance Committee's attention the need for a match. And we have to appropriate the tax dollars that the off-road users now pay. Highways, so the theory is that ought to go into something else, and most appropriately trail maintenance and so forth. It's got pretty good support. The way the federal legislation was designed was that 30% of the funds ought to be used for trails that service motorized vehicles, 30% toward those facilities and trails that serve the non-motorized, and 40% for multi-use. So I think all sides are covered, and again, have pretty broad support. Finally, last year, the Finance Committee did put $35,000 into the budget from those taxes. It was vetoed, and so that was the other reason I introduced this resolution, to try to get the administration on board as a supporter of the program, and try to encourage the Finance Committee to give this one more try, and hopefully the governor won't veto it this time.
Further discussion? The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolutions 32, resources pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary locked the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary record the roll. And so, committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution 32 resources has passed the Senate in second reading by a vote of 16 yeas, 0 nays.
House joint resolution number 60 by Representative G. Phillips and M. A. Miller relating to the expansion of the National Air and Space Museum. Senate Special Committee on National Trade and Tourism considered the resolution. Majority of the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chair, concurring. Senators Adams, Strzelewski, and Ewing, previous House Zero Fiscal Note. Rules Committee considered the resolution, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Giroff, Chair, concurring. Senators Elias and Halford.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution number 60 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place in final passage.
Without objection, House Joint Resolution 60 is in third reading. Secretary, please read the resolution.
House Joint Resolution number 60 relating to the expansion of the National Air and Space Museum.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to ask a couple questions on this resolution. It seems to be something unusual that we're doing here, requesting that the federal government spend an unknown amount of money in Denver, Colorado. One, it seems that there seems to be a real concern on both the federal level and the state level to try to slow down government spending instead of increasing it. And this resolution does just the opposite. Secondly, I'm wondering what, I haven't seen any figures here. It talks about the tourists that are going to come to Denver, a million of them, and the impact, positive impact it's going to have on the other western states. Is there any figures that show whether or not any of those will come to Alaska, or whether we're just urging more tourism in those, which may be fine also, but I'm just wondering what we're doing here. I really don't know what the cost of this expansion is. I don't know what the benefit to Alaska is or why we're even entering into this debate and discussion.
Senator Fisher.
Just thank you. The Smithsonian is going to expand anyhow. I mean, this is a given. And that the, and I didn't attend, the Western Legislative Conference in Cheyenne, Wyoming just recently endorsed that if they're going to move it somewhere, let's move it to the West. And Denver is the place in the West that was under considerations. My concern was why not move it to Alaska, but the answer was, you know, if you move it up here, you're just not going to get the impact as you would in lower 48. As I understand it from the sponsor of the bill, it is a cost savings. They're going to do it anyhow, but if they move it to Denver, it's $200 million less than if they moved it to the Baltimore-Washington area.
And the Sunday Argonian, which is a newspaper, I think they have the right headline, said, why should Westerners have to hike to Washington to get a national state? It's a pretty good
newspaper for the
Mr. President, that rationale seems to make some kind of sense. I guess if they're going to do it, they might as well do it in Denver. But what does it do for Alaska? Why are we doing this? Are those million tourists, are they going to go on a package tour and visit their Air and Space Museum and then come to the one in X? Maybe there's no answer to that. But I guess the point is sometimes we enter into things that really don't seem to be things we should enter into.
Is there a picture?
President, the obvious answer is 2,000 miles closer to Alaska than
Senator,
worth
the paper. Question being, shall HJR 60 pass the Senate in third reading? Members may proceed to vote. Any
House Joint Resolution number 42 by Representative D. Davis Brown, Ellis Copeland, C. Davis Bruckman, Finkelstein, Ullman, Navarre, Moyer, McLean, Lincoln, Sabina, Jackal, Ivan, Grunberg, Mackey, Boyer, Parnell, Larson, Carney, Donnelly, Baker, Foster, Gongala, Sharp, Sawack, and Davidson, urging the Bush administration and the Congress to increase funding for the Women, Infants, and Children program so that it is available to all eligible persons. Hess Committee considered the resolution reports the back as follows. Senator Strzelewski, Chair, and Senator Menard signed you pass. Senator Fisher signed a recommendation. Previous House fiscal note. Zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the resolution recommend calendar and a new zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Senator Giroff, Chair, concurring Senators Jones, Elias, and Halford.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford?
I move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution 42 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Without objection, House Joint Resolution 42 is on third reading.
House Joint Resolution number 42, urging the Bush administration and the Congress to increase funding for the Women, Infants, and Children program so that it is available to all eligible persons.
Senator Collins? Without objection. Senator Strzelewski, same thing. Senator Menard. Senator Katula. Senator Hoffman. Senator Duncan. Further discussion? The question being, the House Joint Resolution 42 passed the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Secretary, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, record the roll.
Statewide Legislative Internship Program, 1992 Legislative Interns, Senators Duncan, Jaroff, Ewing, Pierce, Fisher, Kurtula, Adams, Pershaw, Menard, Collins, Strzelewski, honoring Amber Alla, Senators Fisher, Menard, Ewing, Strzelewski, and Collins.
Could you add my name to the university, please? Senator Alford?
I'd like to also be added to the University of Alaska Internship Program, and I move and ask unanimous consent the citations appearing on today's calendar be adopted by the Senate.
Without objection, citation calendar is adopted. Senator Jones?
Mr. President, I'd like to give my reconsideration of my vote on HJR 60.
Reconsideration is in order. That concludes the calendar. Unfinished business. Senator Frank?
Mr. President, could my name be added to the university internship program, please?
Senator Frank on a university. Senator Cotton?
Yeah, I move and ask unanimous consent I be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 74. Senator Katula's bill on high-risk pool insurance.
Without objection. Senator Menard? Same request, Senator Menard. Senator Collins? Unfinished business, Senator? We are under... We're on unfinished business, Senator Collins.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross-sponsor on HB 376, Victims' Rights Offender Status Change.
Secretary, get that. Further unfinished business? Announcements. Senator Strzelewski.
I have a number of announcements. Social Services sponsors a Capitol Hill Fair, and tomorrow's the day when you can find out all about whether you're going to be able to last the next 6 weeks. From 11:30 to 2 p.m. today, there's pre-registration in the lobby. The health fair itself will take place in House Finance tomorrow morning in that room from 8 to 12 noon. So sign up today.
Which lobby?
I don't know. I assume the one down here. From 11:30 to 2. Then I've been asked to announce the Children's Caucus will be meeting today in the Butrovich Room. Presentation by the network on domestic violence, sexual assault, and a presentation by Family News Services on family preservation, which I'm happy to say they are changing the name, but I can't remember what it is, but it's better than family preservation. So that's going to go on. Hess has a busy week. We're going to have a meeting at 3:30 today in the, I believe, the Butchovich Room. The four major health bills before that committee will be presented to us. There are committee substitutes on, I believe, all of them. On the health bill, Senate Bill 74, the health insurance pool, the Senate Bill 83, the State Health Resources Authority, Senate Bill 242, Group Health Insurance for Small Employers, and Senate Bill 290, Access to Health Services for Children. And I do want to say that on Wednesday, we're going to hear those same bills, but be taking and starting the public testimony process. Our regular meeting Tuesday at 8 a.m. Will be posted. We'll have a full agenda there. So, busy week for Hess.
Senator Menard?
Tomorrow there will be a joint Senate and Oil Gas Committee hearing on the ballast water and airborne hydrocarbon overview. And also on Wednesday morning, April 1st, at 10 a.m., the Transportation Committee will have a follow-up meeting on the overview that we had on Alaska's position in the coal market. The administration will be coming back and making a presentation on what they feel we should be doing to stay in the international coal market.
Thank you. Announcement, Senator Zara.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think, if I'm not mistaken here, this health fair that I usually try to go through, I always find out that I'm either 18 or 24 inches short for my weight. But
have you fallen?
No, not yet. But I would like to announce that there will be a Rules Committee meeting tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the Farron Camp Room, and it will be for the consideration of the purchase of new copy machines for the Senate. We need to have some Rules Committee action on that.
Thank you. Senator Jones?
The committee will meet this afternoon at 1:30 in the Butrovich Room. The agenda is posted.
Announcements? Can we have brief at ease?
If I could have the floor to ask unanimous consent to talk on hockey, 2 minutes.
You may.
Yeah, okay. Just to report on the trip that I went down to Colorado, to the Wasilla went down to the Pee Wee Regionals. They beat Colorado and Arizona. They got beat by California and Washington, and they had a great trip, and I had a great trip, and we celebrated my dad's 75th birthday there. The team from Washington is supported by a bingo concession. They grossed $2 million in their bingo concession, and they looked like they were worth $2 million, the way they were dressed in Greyhound and designer type stuff, but it was a great tournament. While we were there, the Colorado Lotto was going on. It was worth $25 million. I didn't win. Something else I learned was that 1% of the ice arenas in the lower 48 make money.
All the rest, 99%, are supported by a subsidy from the local communities that were on there. This one in Colorado that we're at made money. I talked to the manager of the arena. He says most hockey arenas and type of areas like that hire people that have management in parks. And he has a management in business, and this arena makes money. When he went there, they were charging $20 an hour for ice time, and the national average was $80 an hour. He has it up to about $70 an hour. He reduced his help from 6 to 2. He's the manager. He does everything there and the whole thing. And it was a good meeting, and I learned a lot. Thank you very much.
Senator Halford, Senator Fisher.
I asked for the privilege of the floor to make a comment on the cookies on your desk. Thank you. These cookies are from the Kenai Senior. They want to be show appreciation even when they're not asking for anything. So their building is going on schedule, and the seniors look like they're going to be moving in real soon. Thank you.
Good. That's good news. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Wednesday.